It's good to be with you all. I thought by way of exhortation this morning we would cast our minds back to the worries and the difficulties that most of us have experienced in the last 2.5 years, and the way that it has challenged indeed our very faith, hasn't it? But God's word gives us that reassurance, doesn't it? We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. However, there's so much of our lives that without doubt points, doesn't it, towards God. Much more than that, it confirms that God is there at all times. And it's not long before we have to recognise God's power indeed, that indeed is in control of all things. Scripture tells us the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Can you feel that there is a God who is personally interested in you? Do we really realise that God, who cares for each one of us, is concerned about our welfare? Yes, we recognise God as the creator, as the sustainer of all things, and a provider too, who never fails us. So through Scripture, there is a helpline that's there for each and every day of our lives, to encourage us. For it was God who breathed into the nostrils of mankind the breath of life in the beginning. And still it is in our day, isn't it? It's just the same. The God on whom we depend for every single moment we live. Go with me into the Psalms, to Psalm 146 and verses 3 and 4. Think what David said to us. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. But he goes on. Happy, happy is he whose hope is in the Lord, his God. So life is our opportunity, isn't it, to get to know our God. For God, indeed, is not far up away from us, is he? God is real. We recognise him as the active power behind. He is active. And all our lives upon which we are dependent. Such power needs to be there all the time. We're going to look now at the experience of one who, in his own day, did recognise the power of God at work in the events that were around him, that he himself became dedicated and committed to the work of the Lord. And it was indeed for their own good. He felt that others should know of it, and took every step he could to give the necessary advice and fulfil the commission he'd been given. For those who can recall the one that I'm talking about, we're thinking about Jeremiah, who was one of the Lord's prophets in his day. In the NIV, from Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, we read, "It is not for a man to direct his steps. A man's life is not his own. Correct me, O Lord." Encouragement and reassurance was always forthcoming for Jeremiah. In the 7th chapter and the 23rd verse we read, "Obey me, I will be your God, walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. It's better to put your trust in the Lord, put your confidence in man." the Psalms indeed are ready for us with Peter's advice. Psalm 118 and verse 8 tells us a challenge in life that confronts us all the time. And as in days gone by, in that verse it tells us, choose for yourselves whom you will serve. It's one of our duties, isn't it? We have to make that choice, which we have to. Free will was the gift of God, indeed, wasn't it? We have that freedom to choose. And yet, in the fact that John 1 and verse 18 tells us no man has seen God at any time, we find it difficult, don't we, sometimes? What contact have we? What means of communication? However, do we feel that God is near and that he cares for us? Such thoughts that may trouble us are not new. If we read from what David said many years ago, who again for the benefit of all who followed and out his own thoughts of his experience in the 139th Psalm and verses 3 and 4. O Lord, you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is my tongue, you know it completely. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Therefore, the plea of David the psalmist, lead me in the way everlasting. So David's experience was preserved. It was recorded for our learning, to help us understand and to deal with the things that we have to face, to help us all to make that important choice. The decision time comes so often as we go through our lives. From the beginning of time, God indeed has provided his own means of communication. Going back in the very early days, the necessary contact came in different ways, but all of them under the Father's direction. Through the angels, who were God's ministers, acting according to his will. Through the prophets of the Lord, again by his appointment. If the thing follow not, that is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken, we're told. But they had to be committed. They had that work to do. And speaking to the people under his direction by vision, by dreams, that indeed were full of meaning. It contained important messages that had to be preserved. And it certainly came to us through the ministry, didn't it, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the apostles he chose to be his disciples, to spread it into the world. God found the way. He provided the means. God's will had to be made known. So as we think of God's purpose with the earth and how it had to be revealed, his intention declared from the beginning of time to fill the earth. Yes, fill the earth with the glory of God. And God's method of revelation was used. Now, because we cannot see God, because he does not talk directly to us in our day, God still maintains the contact through his word and through prayer. We can indeed, through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, speak to him. Yet we have in our hands, haven't we, brethren and sisters, this wonderful book that we're privileged to have, to hold, that's been written, that's been preserved for that purpose. God indeed speaks to us all the time, through its pages, remarkably compiled, and therefore we have the confidence to read it and seek answers to our unanswered questions. The Bible in history, as we know, goes hand in hand. A true historical record of past generations and the way God entered and controlled their lives helps us to in our understanding and gives us advice to help us, not only in the present, but in events still future. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6 from the NIV tells us, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that divine promise still stands. So we can say with confidence that the Lord is my helper. Yes, God is there at all times. Therefore, I will not be afraid. Communication, of course, has to be, doesn't it, a two-way thing to become effective. For God is looking for our response in the actions that we do day by day. And it's a must. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us, seek ye the Lord, seek ye the Lord, call upon him while he is near. Going back to the psalmist, I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. It's good for me to draw near unto God. I have put my trust in the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my defense. My heart trusts in him. And the outcome, I am helped. So, David's advice in such a relationship with God requires a very deliberate action from the individual and a vital understanding that has to be set in place and maintained, effectively used, given the desired benefit. Psalm 37 verse 3, trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Commitment indeed in this day and age, particularly through the difficulties that we've all experienced through COVID and the pressure that is put on various individuals, test at times our implicit trust, but remind us of that dedicated good life in his sight. And it's that commitment that we make, that we have, that keeps us in his care, that reassures us day by day. It shows, doesn't it, true patience. As we look and as we wait for the return of the Master to the earth, what does the Bible tell us about that? It tells us that it is capable of governing and directing our lives. So, our aim then, with Bible in hand now, we venture forward. And we soon find that God himself reveals himself as a God of infinite love and mercy. And to those seeking for truth, indeed, he has made the move. Those trying to respond. And the way has been opened. And we give thanks to our Heavenly Father that that is taking place even at the moment. Those vital steps that lead, indeed, as we take our response to the love and mercy that is showered down upon us. So through all the generations, first we have the required knowledge of him, the obedience that must follow in our way of life. Romans tells us, chapter 5 and verse 8, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that our Bibles indeed are that place of information to help us transform and be invigorated in our lives. We've talked about the Old Testament. Let's move into the New Testament now. And we remind ourselves at whatever stage we are that we are brought to the same conclusion. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and have come short of the target set by God. So God recognizes that man needs all the help that he can have. And here we are this morning, remembering our Lord, only God who can supply and meet our persistent needs. And the Bible gives us that means, doesn't it? It reassures us that we begin to understand ourselves with our varying problems. And I'm sure you, like me, in times of stress during the last 2.5 years, independent of looking in the readings, sometimes thoughts of various scriptures come to mind that reassure us and give us that active support day by day in our lives. God's word indeed, we know, is God read. It's useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word gives us the do's and the don'ts, if you like, of our lives. Isaiah tells us, God said, I who made the earth and created man upon it, there is no God apart from me. Turn to me and be saved. What does it tell us about the love of God and the extent of it? That well-known passage from John 3 and verse 16 that we know by heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So what is our life? Yes, it's even a vapor, isn't it? That appears for a short time and then vanishes away. Man indeed, as we know, is destined to die once. We're aware of that. But the Bible explains why. And we're reminded of the link with sin and disobedience against God. The wrong choices that perhaps we have made. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. But more than that, let's see the opportunities that are held out to us by this outline, through scripture that we have. It's more than that, isn't it? It's a real, it's a necessary lifeline that we have with us at all times. But indeed, the gift of God is eternal life, a promise made by God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so now, as we approach the memorial table, we think of our Lord, sacrificed once to take away sin, and we look forward to when he appears a second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting, those who are watching. It gives us the reassurance. Romans tells us, everyone who calls upon his name shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, Scripture tells us, you will be saved. So we have that helpline, haven't we? Towards, as it were, salvation by the grace of God. promise of a glorious resurrection, of a time that we shall see, we pray, worthies of hope who have passed away, our brethren and sisters that we have known, those indeed that have accepted and taken on that challenge. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4 reminds us, he was buried. He rose again on that third day. It describes Jesus in resurrection as the first fruits and makes the promise. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. So through his word, God tells us of that new life in Christ that is possible. How it heralds the return to the earth to the Lord Jesus. And this ought to be our encouragement, shouldn't it, to each other, to remind ourselves continually as we meet together. Thankfully, over the last 2.5 years, we have had the advantage of modern technology too, that we aren't feeling that we're in isolation, that we are all together, that we can enjoy the fellowship that we have. So the new life, as it were, is Christ. In Christ is made possible. It heralds the return of the Lord Jesus to the earth. And we're told to encourage one another with these words. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It acknowledges, it demonstrates, and it assures us that our hope and our joy, brothers and sisters, is to be in the presence of the Lord at his coming. How thankful we have to be that God indeed gave his Son on our behalf. And it indeed gives to us that real lesson for living. Our motivation in the commitment that we make to the Lord Jesus. As we enjoy ourselves with the fellowship that we experience. Yes, this must not be our only aim. While such enjoyment is welcome, there is more to life. For our joy must be in him. So our prayer in these last moments are that we in all our ways acknowledge God and confident that God will.